This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by a leading surgeon who is both the president-elect, the Physician Hospital Association of America, plus a clinical associate professor at the Thomas Jefferson School of Health Medical Center, and a surgeon at the Rothman Institute, Dr. Fred Liss. Dr. Liss, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? Then we'd love to get your thoughts on a number of things related to coronavirus, practice management today, all kinds of things. Dr. Liss?
Yes, thank you, Scott. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to discuss these important issues. And as you know, we've been all working very hard to meet this crisis and do the right thing by all of our patients and our staffs. And these are important times for us to be talking about the state of things with the coronavirus. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. And some of your sense about how this plays out, and I know you wear multiple roles. You're at the Rothman Institute, one of the leading orthopedic practices in the country. You're at Thomas Jefferson Health, one of the great elite institutions in the country. You also have Rothman Institute as part of a physician-owned hospital, and you chair the Physician-Owned Hospital Association. So tell us a little bit about how this all plays out and what do you see? I mean, I know you're seeing from multiple different perspectives. Give us a couple thoughts.
Yeah, I think, thank you. I think the two most important thoughts in my mind are there are two phases to really what's happening here. The first, of course, is the health crisis that we're all, for the last several weeks, been trying to meet the needs of handling safety for our patients, for our employees, for each other, and to prevent the potential devastating effects of that. And then the secondary part has been scrambling to try to prevent financial demise. We have to provide service to our patients, and it's an incredibly difficult task. So what we've discovered are that we're quite good at working together. We have fantastic leadership at the Rothman Institute who have met the health needs and the safety needs right away, and we're doing a great job with that. And now we're trying to wait for the wave of this health crisis to come through so we get a grip on, you know, what the next steps are. It's a fluid process. Every single day it changes. So we're trying to prevent the failure of the health system at the same time as prevent the failure of health for people. And that's been a tremendous challenge.
In your thoughts on this, I mean, you've got this fascinating situation of the PHR presents 200 to 300 physician-owned hospitals in the country. Many of those for the moment are sort of having to shut down what are elective surgeries to be prepared for COVID-19 patients. You're also part of a huge, crazily successful and well thought of physician practice, and that has to manage itself through this as well. Any thoughts on sort of the management of these facilities and practices as their bread and butter of what keeps the lights on get slowed down for a month or two?
Yes. Well, first and foremost, as I said at the outset, we have to protect our employees and our patients. So we're staying lockstep with our government's recommendations for the safety pieces. And that does mean at this time in our area in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and the surrounding regions that our physician hospitals and our ASCs are not entirely shut down. We're still allowed to do emergency surgeries and we're doing that. But the volume of work is dramatically reduced. And therefore, patients who've been waiting for months and months to have what are not considered life-threatening needs are shut out. And that does financially put an incredible crunch, not only on the hospitals, but on our practice, because that is the life's blood of what makes our businesses go. So, you know, again, on the one hand, we're trying to prevent disease from spreading. And on the other hand, we have to keep the lights on. So, it's an incredible challenge. I mean, just as an example, for the Rothman Institute, we have not laid off anybody. No one has been laid off. Our organization has been fantastic. Everybody has taken pay cuts. We're trying to stay intact. We've sent employees who don't need to be in the offices home, et cetera. Same thing at our hospitals. We are ready to go. Our employees have been paid for the next 2 weeks guaranteed. And we are trying to keep them on call so that when the crisis needs arise, that we're there and they're there and ready to roll.
Thank you. And are you seeing the same thing at physician or hospitals throughout the country? Sort of how are they responding to this at the present moment?
In the same way, as president-elect of the PHA, I've been on calls every day, speaking with our leaders, communicating with all the leaders of our hospital who are represented on our board, trying to remain present and available to meet the needs of each community. And I want to point out that every area is different. We have different needs in different areas. You know, New York is having a crisis. You know, Philadelphia right now has not had the same wave yet, but we're all bracing for it. So each and every hospital around the country is trying to stay in tune with their local and regional, not only governments, but health systems. So, for example, I'm at Thomas Jefferson University. I teach there. Thomas Jefferson, Mainline Health are partners in our hospitals. We are on the calls with their command centers, and we're trying to integrate our hospital into the picture of readiness for whatever the needs are. And in the cases of many of the hospitals, physician hospitals, a lot of us are surgical, some of us are acute care hospitals, you know, the needs will be different. So we want to be ready to do what it is that is needed in the particular individual marketplaces. So that's really where we stand.
And do you have a sense of, you know, everybody talks about a surge and everybody's become an internet sort of mastermind of when the surge is going to happen. Is it anything that you could feel or tell us about, you know, what your sense is, or is it just really impossible to judge?
Well, you know, it is a sense. It's my opinion. I think that when it comes to viral illness, what I've seen, and I'm not an internist or an infectious disease doctor, but what we see is that there's generally a wave of a spike that happens. And sometimes there are secondary waves. With this virus, because it's so contagious and it has spread so rapidly, what we're seeing is areas of hotspots that pop up. And what we expect and what one would think and what we're hearing from, you know, and I'm following the news just like you are with on the medical side, it seems as though what will happen is we'll see a wave. There's going to be a crisis, perhaps, you know, more so in some markets than others, some areas than others. And then when we hit the peak of that, that should be the time when we can get everything up and going again more safely. And I think what everybody's trying to protect themselves against is exposing patients and staff to an unnecessary risk during this time while we're waiting to see if the wave rolls through our area. And that's what Rothman Institute has done. And that's what PHA has been recommending to its hospitals, is to be ready for the individual needs at the particular time.
Yes. Talk to me for a second about physician-owned hospitals. Physician-owned hospitals have become sort of a political football over the last 20, 30 years, and then at some point in the ACA, development of new physician-owned hospitals was sort of, it was not allowed. You couldn't develop new ones. And as it's turned out, those states that have physician-owned hospitals, largely in states that are not certificate of need states, where you're able to build one. Now that extra bed capacity, even though it can't be used for the moment for elective surgery, really, or at least it's being, you know, condensed, that extra bed capacity is sure a welcome thing to have, isn't it, at the current point?
Well, I would agree with that. The political discussion is probably for another time, although I have some comments on that. I would tell you that, again, the local markets will have local needs. In our area, we're gearing up with Mainline Health Thomas Jefferson. We feel ready to handle the surge of surgical overflow that needs to be done when the big hospitals, if they in fact are overwhelmed with COVID patients, that we will be able to continue to function with trauma. And perhaps when the crisis eases, when the peak hits and beyond that, that we get back up and running and be able to handle overflow surgeries. I mean, we have patients out there that have many needs. So that's the main thing that I would answer. And yes, from the standpoint of politics, there has been a lot of pushback about physician hospitals. It's a politically charged issue. But the bottom line is we are a tremendous resource in this country. We have been working very, very hard and very, very diligently with Congress, not only, you know, in the past, but very, very much currently to say, hey, you know, we are a resource. Don't overlook us, keep us in the conversation, which has been the battle politically for many years. We are a tremendously high quality industry that has fantastic staff. Rothman Institute is one that has ownership of two such hospitals, and we are ready to handle what we have to handle in the surgical market to help the health systems. And that's really what we're doing in our market. It's going to be different in other places, but I think the real boiling it down issue here is our hospitals are real hospitals. They deserve to be considered in the scheme of what we're doing here for this crisis. We are trying at the PHA very, very hard to alert Congress to that resource and make sure that we are in the conversation for trying to help all of us dig out of this crisis.
Thank you. No, and I think it's critical. And obviously, as the country has reduced its number of beds over the last 5 to 10 years in the name of efficiency and somewhat much needed efficiency, when you do have this kind of crisis, all of a sudden it makes one rethink how many beds you need. Certainly, even before this, and I'll ask you another topic, Dr. Liz, even before this, we saw throughout the country shortages of physicians and allied health practitioners and providers. And this really shows the need for having, we already needed more doctors and more physicians if we want to provide access to our population. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was a period of time in our region in the Philadelphia general area where, nurses were at a shortage and they were paying nurses sign-on bonuses to come join. And, one of the things that Physician Hospitals of America and physician hospitals in general have done is offer a super high quality environment for staff to come work. I mean, we are very staff friendly and very engaging, and patients feel that. So when you have staff who are treated shoulder to shoulder with the ownership of the hospital, you get tremendously high quality staffers that are interested in working with you. And then the outcome, which is most important, is fantastic patient care. And that's particularly true in times of crisis and stress. Our staffs are ready to roll. And these are people who are selfless, and they got into the purpose of care for caring for patients. That's what we're good at, and that's what we want to do in this time of crisis.
Thank you, Dr. Liz, very much. Just a fascinating role combination of positions that you live in terms of practicing, great surgeon, leader with the Thomas Jefferson Health System, which is, recently ranked top 15, 16 systems in the world by U.S. News, and also the leader of PHA, the Physician and Hospital Association, a magnificent group of entrepreneurial and high-quality providers. So, Dr. Liz, we appreciate you so much joining us today. What a pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you, Scott. And, I just want to sign off by urging Congress to put down the politics and realize what a resource we are and get us engaged in this so that not only can we care for patients, but we also can get the business of healthcare back into business. A lot of people's jobs are at stake. This is not only going to be a health crisis, but it's a financial crisis. We're ready to serve in both respects. And I'm so grateful that you have invited me to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure visiting with you.